On this episode of the Camper News Network podcast, we will recap this past weekend's racing at the Daytona Road Course. Also this week on the Camper News Network podcast, we will recap last week's MTA board meeting in Lower Manhattan. And also this week on the Camper News Network podcast, we will discuss upcoming things occurring on YouTube on the Camper News Network YouTube channel. Hello, everybody, and welcome to this edition of the Camper News Network podcast. Of course, I'm your host, Matt Camper, creator, producer, and director of both the Camper News Network podcast, along with, of course, Camper News Network over on YouTube. And we got a few things we're going to talk about this week. As I always do with this podcast every week, we start off with talking about last weekend's racing in NASCAR. And this past weekend, we had another weekend at Daytona International Speedway, although this time it was on the Daytona Road Course. And it turned out to be a really exciting weekend. You know, the finishes for the trucks Friday night, the Xfinity Series late Saturday afternoon, of course, the Cup Series on Sunday afternoon, turned out to be very, you know, exciting finishes, I thought. And two of the races, the Xfinity Series and the Cup Series, we had first-time winners. And we'll talk about that as we go along. But let's just start out. The Truck Series turned out there were three overtime finishes at the end. I thought going back to the Busch Clash before the Daytona 500. And, you know, that was really exciting where it went down to Chase Elliott and Ryan Blaney going for the win. Chase Elliott was leading. Ryan Blaney was lead. Chase Elliott was in second. No points on the line at all. And, you know, Chase Elliott decided to, you know, spin out Ryan Blaney to try to get the win. And, unfortunately, that didn't prevail for Chase Elliott. He, unfortunately, came in second. But that turned out to be what I thought was going to be a really, going into this weekend, more cars on the track for all three series. I thought it was going to be, you know, an incredible weekend of racing. And I thought we got that from the Xfinity Series, the Truck Series, and the Cup Series this past weekend. Not much to talk about in the Truck Series, except we had three overtime finishes to try to finish this race. They got it done, and, you know, congratulations to that winner. But going into the Xfinity Series, you know, it was very interesting. And I'll talk more about the Xfinity Series and the Cup Series than the trucks, obviously. The Xfinity Series, you know, really exciting race. The end of stage one. Two of the best road course races, I think, in the Xfinity Series overall. Austin Cindric and A.J. Allmendinger. A.J. Allmendinger, of course, was part-time last year. And this year, he came back. He's a full-time Xfinity Series driver this year. And in the 16 car. Austin Cindric, of course, in the 22. A.J. Allmendinger for Colic Racing. And Cindric for Penske. And, you know, came down to where, you know, the chicane right before the start finish line, the end stage one, and, you know, they wrecked. And honestly, this is just my opinion on this. You know, I understand this is a stage one situation. You want points. You know what happened? You know, Austin Cindric was able to get points. A.J. Allmendinger, on the other hand, was not able to, and he could not even recover from that or the rest of the day. That just cost A.J. Allmendinger a chance out of winning. And I understand the end of the stage, that's how NASCAR came up with the stages to make the races more exciting. I think it was just racing, but, you know, why in the world, with only the first stage, the end of stage one, why would you want to, you know, wreck another competitor and, you know, the other competitor does not get any stage points and doesn't even have a good day at all. AJ Allmendinger only got 2 points, which was embarrassing, if I have to be honest. I honestly thought that should have been not been the case. I think that should have not happened. I think that's something that, again, that was a mistake. And that's something that they're going to learn from. And I hope that doesn't happen again, honestly. But that was a very interesting finish to stage one. And then we had an overtime finish in the Xfinity Series, just like we had with the Cups, with the Truck Series. And it was very interesting to see. And I wasn't really honestly paying attention. I was out. But I heard about this on a podcast I was just listening to a little while ago. And turns out the winner of the race, Ty Gibbs, first race ever in the Xfinity Series, wins the race. But not just that. Somehow made a pass through the grass to win it. That is incredible stuff there. And I think Ty Gibbs has some, you know, kind of skill. I think he has things to come in the Xfinity Series. I think he's going to be a great competitor one day in the Xfinity Series. But that was an incredible way to end that for Ty Gibbs. First time he was ever in an Xfinity car. And he won the race. That was incredible, I honestly think. And we'll see where things go with Ty Gibbs. But, you know, it was very interesting what happened there in the Xfinity Series. Now, the Cup Series, Chase Elliott dominated the race. You know, the first half of the race. And, you know, he had a bad pit stop. I think it was the end of stage two. He had a bad pit stop. And, you know, Chase Elliott at one point got up to the lead in stage three, the final stage. And, you know, things just got, you know, I really thought Chase Elliott was going to win this race. But what I think jinxed Chase Elliott. And yes, the mistake that happened, you know, towards the end of the race where he spun out. That was just racing, by the way, there. That was absolutely just racing. But the situation that really, I think, jinxed, that wasn't one of the things I think that really jinxed Chase Elliott. What really jinxed Chase Elliott, I believe, was that caution with 15 laps to go. It was raining a little bit at the track, yes, but they do rain in the rain. I do understand the situation NASCAR has to put themselves into. You know, safety of the drivers, you know, if it's going to rain, it's on the road course, they're going to throw the caution, and you're going to have a situation where, you know, the teams have the option to come in and put on the rain tires if they want. Yes. But this is where I think NASCAR was wrong. Yes, it was raining, but the track was literally drying, I believe, at that point. And I don't think, under any circumstances, shouldn't have NASCAR thrown that caution. I think that jinxed Chase Elliott of the win. I think that was the wrong decision by NASCAR. I understand they have a rule, if it's raining or the track is changing colors, you know, they got to throw the caution and allow the teams to come in. But nobody in that situation put on rain tires. Nobody that came onto pit road decided to put on rain tires. No, everybody put on the slicks. And I think that was, in that case, that was the wrong decision by NASCAR. I honestly think, again, this is where I think with road courses, this is something they need to really look at. You know, IMSA has a situation where if it's raining, you have the, they don't throw the caution. They let the teams decide. Should we put on the wets or not? I think that's something that NASCAR could look seriously into doing for the future and putting in the rule book, maybe for the next season. So I think this, honestly, it's ridiculous. You know, I think this jinxed Chase Elliott, but first, second of all, that caution should have, in the first place, never been thrown, I believe. I know some people feel that, yes, they should have. That's to the rule book. Yes, I understand that. But the track was literally drying. I think NASCAR should have realized that and said, no, we're not going to throw the caution. Track is drying. Could have looked at it again, just, you know, reconsidered. And that could have been a situation where I believe we could have had a different outcome because of that. I think we could have absolutely, 100% certainty, could have had a different outcome. And we could have been talking differently. We wouldn't have been talking about, yes, congratulations to Christopher Bell. He got his first time winning the Cup Series. Battled with Joey Logano towards the end to win that race. First time win in the Cup Series. Well deserved for Christopher Bell. He has had a great start to the year. And Christopher Bell, if you don't know this, Christopher Bell, he had some pretty good consistency last season at road courses. So I wouldn't rule out Christopher Bell this season maybe having another road course win potentially. Maybe having some very good consistency at road courses. I definitely can say that for a fact. But I don't think that caution should... I think there would have been a different outcome if NASCAR wouldn't have thrown that caution. I think we would have been talking completely differently as to what would have happened. But that's not the case here. That's not the case. NASCAR decided to throw the caution, and that's why the outcome we had was the outcome we had. And that, I don't think, was the right move by NASCAR. I think NASCAR really should explain to us, the fans, as to why they threw the caution when they did. Why did they do that? Because that, I think, was not really the right call. I don't think, you know, that was the right decision. Yes, you wouldn't have known, was there more rain coming? But I don't think, you know, the track was drying. You could have, you know, given a little leeway and said, no, no reason to. But that's really honestly my point. You know, congratulations. Absolutely well deserved to Christopher Bell. Again, a reminder, as always, every week, make sure you tune into the Live Traffic Podcast with host Brandon Crowd. Wherever you get your podcasts, here on the Google Podcast or wherever you get your podcasts, whether you're on your iPhone or whatever, Podbean, wherever you get your podcast, make sure you tune in to the Last Travel Podcast where it hosts Brandon Crowd every single week. This week will, of course, be a great show as always. You know, he'll have it up this tonight, hopefully 8 p.m. Eastern Time, hopefully around. Usually it's not exactly 8 o'clock, it's usually sometime after 8, so tune in wherever you get your podcast. It'll be posted later tonight, and of course, make sure you tune in. Yours truly does call in most every week to the Wave Around Hotline for my, as you call it, Lucky Dog and Lockdown Hicks. So you'll hear more from me as to the racing perspective tonight on the Lap Track podcast on the Wave Around Hotline. We'll get my Lucky Dog and Lockdown Hicks for the Cup Series. That's what I typically like to talk about. Sometimes it may be different. It just depends on the circumstances. But make sure you tune in tonight. You truly will be on there as usual every week for my Lucky Dog and Lockdown picks. But hope you enjoy that later tonight or whenever you listen to this podcast. You listen to the Last Traffic Podcast as well. Listen to that later on today. But anyway, nonetheless, let's continue on. We're going to now move our discussion to the MTA. Last week, we had the MTA board meeting, and no surprise, the MTA did put in the toll increases. The good news is the Staten Island residential discount is staying, so to those Staten Island residents, you got your voices heard. You will keep your resident discount. That's good news. You know, and obviously, there are increases, and there's a new thing there where, again, I don't have much certainty as to what that exactly is, so I'm not going to discuss it here, but there is something in regards to the tolls with the eBay passes. If you don't have them basically put in properly, I'm not sure exactly what the... I wish the board members would have asked that question. What does that exactly mean? And we have no clarity as to exactly what that means. So I'm not going to discuss my reaction to that here. All I'm going to say is, you know, I wish we could get some more clarity as to that. Now we'll be going into effect in April of this year. So the fare and toll increase is going into effect in April. There was some other stuff. Again, we're not going to get into everything at the board meeting. Just want to get the main topics out of the way. The main topic that was discussed was the financial situation. And we actually got some good news as to service cuts at the board meeting. We learned last week at the board meeting that the doomsday cuts that were potentially could have been happening in 2022 next year, that is not going to happen. No service cuts in 2022. Because of better financial situation than they thought. You know, they are obviously still looking for the Fed to help with $8 billion. Let's hope that happens. Again, we know in the House of Representatives there is a stimulus package being potentially voted on sometime this week. The House is going to vote on that. And then if that gets approved, that will be sent to the Senate. And hopefully the Senate will pass that. We have to see what happens on that. That's something to keep an eye on the Senate. But, you know, hopefully, again, sooner rather than later, we'll have another stimulus package from Washington. And maybe that might help the MTA. Who knows? Could they get another $4 billion? And maybe they'll be down $4 billion. That would be great. But we're going to have to see. We don't know yet what's going to happen on that. But sometime this week, hopefully, they're going to be, the House of Representatives is going to be voting on that, and then that'll be sent to the U.S. Senate. And hopefully, if the U.S. Senate passes that, then, of course, it will be sent to the President of the United States, Joseph R. Biden Jr., and then, of course, the President would sign it in that case if he supports it, which I'm assuming he does. So, we will hopefully have a stimulus package sooner rather than later. But the good news is, as I said, we're not going to have doomsday cuts in 2022. Better financial situation than at least we originally thought. So, no service cuts in doomsday service cuts in 2022. They're still on the table for 2023 and 2024. So, let's see what happens on that. We don't know right now. But we got to continue to hope that Washington, the feds, will do the right thing and get the stimulus package done. And let's hope maybe we can continue to work with the state on getting a gas tax passed. We need a gas tax. Maybe that might help in a sense. Maybe that will get us out of the fight. We won't have to talk about any service cuts at all. Even 2023 and 2024. So let's hope not. Again, thank God. We won't have to talk about service cuts next year either. So that's great news. Again, we don't know when the fare hike will be talked about again. That's delayed several months. We don't know how long exactly that will be. More to come on that. But that's the major news from the MTA this week, that the doomsday service cuts for 2022 is not going to happen. The financial situation is better than we had thought last year. So that is good news. And, you know, we won't see any service cuts next year, 2022. 2023 and 2024, yet to be determined at this point. That's still on the table. Now, the last thing we're going to talk about this week. Try to keep these podcasts. Last week was a long one because we had a lot to talk about. But this week, try to keep it shorter. So, the last thing I want to talk about, of course, is the announcements for Camper News Network. And, of course, we have the Long Island News for Camper News Network every Friday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time. On Camper News Network, so stay tuned for that later this week on Friday. Actually, when I get home later, I'm going to try to record. Hopefully, there's some articles that I can actually talk about this week. So, I'm going to look into that probably when I have my lunch. But, anyway, as I said, Long Island News later this week. Also, this was posted on my Twitter page at Camper News yesterday. I even reminded everybody about this today as well. We got word, speaking of NASA, on Crew 2. There's going to be a couple of press conferences on Monday of next week. Can't believe we're talking about Crew 2 already. Our Crew 2 coverage starts next week. There will be a couple of press conferences, one less than with Crew 1. So they'll just be basically, the first one will be at 12:30 p.m. Eastern Time on Monday. Camper News Network will provide live coverage beginning at 12:25 p.m. Eastern Time. There will be, of course, from the Johnson Space Center, Houston, Texas. This press conference will be regarding the overview of the Crew 2 mission. So there'll be people like Kathy Leaders, Joe Montalbano, Steve Stitch, trying to think who else, someone from SpaceX, and there's going to be a couple other people. But again, I'll recap that more for you on Monday with our coverage. Again, our live coverage of that overview news conference will start at 12:25 p.m. Eastern Time on Monday. The press conference scheduled to start at 12:30. Then, at 2 p.m. Eastern Time, will be where the crew will be speaking to the media. So, the crew will be taking questions from the media, all that stuff. That will be a crew news conference for Crew 2. Our live coverage of that will start at 1:55 p.m. Eastern Time on Camper News Network. The press conference will start at 2 o'clock. We will bring you live coverage of the crew news conference on Monday. Now, there will also be potentially some one-on-one interviews. I can't really say how long that will take. We're not going to take it live just because, again, there's going to be like, you know, all kinds of breaks in there and stuff, and that's just too much, you know, going on. So we're going to basically leave that for pre-recorded. We're going to pre-record that. My plan is when a take comes out of that later in the day, we'll have that for you, Camper News Network, on YouTube. However, we will not be live covering the interviews itself, the one-on-ones. So if you're looking for the one-on-ones, you can watch it on NASA TV or NASA's YouTube channel, whatever. That'll be at 3:30 on Monday. But just a programming note, speaking of the press conferences and everything. Of course, 12:30 is the first one, 2 o'clock is the second one. So I know some of you may ask this question. And that is, are we going to stay live for both and basically talk in between? The answer is no, because I do want to reset everything and be able to basically have everything appropriate for the appropriate press conferences. So as a result, since obviously there'll be a, you know, what do we call it? Oh, a little delay or whatever you want to call it between the press conference itself at, 12:30, whatever. I don't know. The press conference at 12:30, and then the press conference at 2. It's probably going to end around 1:30, the one that starts at 12:30. We're going to reset everything, so we're going to go off the air for a short time, and maybe about 25 minutes, and maybe about 20 minutes. I don't know how long it'll be. So keep that in mind. We're going to be doing that. That's the plan for this press conference coverage on Monday. We'll bring you live coverage of that, of course, on Monday. Again, live coverage of the overview press conference at 12:25. The crew news conference coverage starting at 1:55 p.m. Eastern Time, both on Camper News Network. So please tune in on Monday. Really excited to start our Crew 2 coverage starting on Monday. And we'll explain more about Crew 2 as we go along, but just a brief overview of Crew 2. What's going to happen is they are launching no earlier than April 20th. Once they do get to the International Space Station Crew 2, there's going to be a brief handover of about a week in between. Right now, we have a tentative date for Crew, when once that week is up of the handover, Crew 1 will be coming home to splash down. That is scheduled for tentatively right now, I believe, May 1st. May 1st is when that's going to happen. Of course, Camper News Network will provide extensive coverage of the Slashdown, the Crew 1 as well. When that happens, we will bring you also extensive coverage of everything related to Crew 2, as we did with Crew 1. We will be bringing extensive coverage, whether it's pre-recorded or live streamed. Most of it's going to be pre-recorded. Some of it's going to be live streamed. It just depends on the events and if I'm available and whatever. But we will bring you extensive coverage with the launch of Crew 1, with the launch of Crew 2, the Slashdown of Crew 1, and all of that in between. So definitely looking forward. Very excited about that. And also a reminder, Bowling Starline is scheduled to launch on April 2nd. That's changed from when we last talked. But Bowling Starline is now scheduled for no earlier than April 2nd. We will bring you extensive coverage of the Bowling Starline mission as well. So we got a lot of NASA things coming up in the next month and a half, 2 months, related to Crew 1, Crew 2, Bowling Starliner. We got a lot of NASA stuff to cover over the next couple of months. We'll also talk more about these news here on the Camper News Network podcast as information becomes available. Maybe next week we will recap at least the information we learned from the overview of Crew 2. But anyway, I think with that, we're going to wrap up this week's Camper News Network podcast. Again, you can get the Camper News Network podcast on Google Play, Anchor. I don't know what other places you can get it, but if you find it, let me know. I appreciate it. But anyway, I also posted on my Twitter page at Camper News. Make sure to subscribe, click that notification bell, and click all notifications so that way you're notified of whatever video is posted or live stream on Camper News Network. Again, that's a YouTube channel for Camper News Network. All news, follow me on Twitter at Camper News for all the latest news as it happens. All hours of the day. So with that, that'll wrap up this week's episode. Next week, we will, of course, recap the NASCAR Xfinity Series race at Homestead along with the Cup Series race at Homestead. We will also next week talk about Crew 2, as I said. We got the overview news conference on Monday. We will recap some of the highlights from that next week right here on the Camper News Network podcast on Tuesday. Again, late afternoon hours usually. I was in a little earlier today. I'm not going to get into why, but with that, hope you all enjoyed this episode of the Camper News Network podcast, and we'll talk to you all next week. Thank you all for listening.